Blindside, written by Lucin, read by Nonplussed. Fandom, Kinposh the Series TV. Category, Gen. Rating, teen and up audiences. No archive warnings apply. Macau whips his head around at the sound of the door opening, but it's just not. So he turns back towards Vegas, who is lying there on the bed, pale and sick, entangled in wires and looking no better than he did yesterday.
Kun Macau,
Nop says. He circles to stand next to Macau, then dips into a deep bow.
I have a message for you.
Macau freezes.
Who sent it?
He says warily. Nop's face briefly tenses.
Kun Gon has asked you to come visit him.
Fucking hell. Macau stands up, kicks the flimsy hospital chair back so that it screeches across the floor. He knew it would be some bullshit like this.
I'm not going,
he says. Nop just looks at him, which is fair. Everyone in this room knows that this is not a request that Macau can turn down. Macau would tell his bastard uncle to shove it, but this is Uncle Gon's hospital, and Vegas is being kept alive by Uncle Gon's doctors. Macau has no choice.
What does he want?
A voice says quietly, and Macau and Nop turn to look at Pete, who's been slouching against the wall on the far side of Vegas's bed for probably like half the day.
Just that he had family matters to discuss, and that it would be easier in person.
Nop says slowly.
He's expecting to see Kun Macau in 2 hours.
And he can just order me around whenever he wants,
Macau hisses.
Because he's got us caught in his little trap and now he wants to laugh at me?
Kun Macau,
Nop says sternly, and Macau shuts his mouth immediately.
Any more details?
Pete says. Nop shakes his head.
Kun Macau, they've sent a car.
He glances at Pete deliberately for a moment.
What arrangements do you want to make here before leaving?
Fuck, fuck, fuck. Macau bites at the inside of his mouth, hard enough to sharpen his senses. Between Nop and Mitt, he can't take both of them. One of them needs to stay here to guard Vegas. He wishes he had more damn men. Too bad everyone died, or ran away like the cowards they were. He wants to take Mick, but he knows that's because he's soft. Because Mick's been his personal bodyguard for ages, and Mick lets Macau do whatever he wants after a little bit of grumbling. And Mick sat right next to him while Macau was freaking out in that safe house about whether or not Vegas had died yet in the coup. He should take Nop. Nop's a far more experienced bodyguard, knows the kind of games that Uncle Gon tends to play, and doesn't ever hesitate to tell Macau to shut up for his own good. And there's the other problem, which is that Pete would stay here. And if Mick stays at his station out in the hallway, they'd be leaving Pete out of their line of sight, which is something they've been trying not to do.
I'll take him,
Pete says suddenly, as if he's been doing the same math in his head. Which he definitely has been. It's easy to forget that this plain, innocent-looking man was Tan Kun's head bodyguard and has all the skills to show for it. Nop narrows his eyes at Pete, but doesn't say anything. Macau is suddenly hit with a wave of gratitude for Nop, who, for some reason, lets Macau make all the decisions, even when they're kind of terrible.
And why should I let you do that?
Macau says dismissively.
I know the terrain,
Pete says, crossing his arms.
No one here knows it better than me. I'll be able to notice immediately if anything's out of place.
He smiles wryly.
Plus, they're less likely to shoot me on sight.
Macau snorts. Personally, he thinks all of them are equally likely to get shot.
Kung-gon is expecting you,
Pete continues softly.
He's not expecting me.
And now Macau is listening, because Pete's right. Every interaction with Uncle Gon is about fighting for the upper hand, and the best way to do that is to surprise him. Because otherwise he'll surprise you, and then you'll have lost, he remembers Vega saying. Macau sticks his neck out, gives Pete a long glare before shrugging.
Suit yourself,
he says, reaching out to drag the chair back under him so he can flop down into it.
Nop, you'll stay here with Hia.
Nop bows again, showing nothing on his face.
Yes, Kun Macau. Do not hesitate to call if you need anything.
Macau grins, bigger and braver than he feels.
Will do, Chief.
Macau hates this stupid mansion, hates the stupid marbled floors and polished pillars and all the guards standing pin straight in their stupid suits. His uncle and his cousins try so hard to put up this perfect, pristine front, but they are practically dripping in blood. He thinks about the fact that somewhere in this massive estate, there's a patch of floor where someone scrubbed at a puddle of Vegas's blood. And then he promptly tells himself to stop thinking about it, because he needs to have every shred of sanity to deal with whatever dear Uncle Gon is about to throw at him. Pete walks steadily next to him, footsteps silent in comparison to Macau's. It's not that Macau thinks Pete is a spy or anything. Pete's a shit liar. Pete also seems unreasonably attached to Vegas, so Macau is pretty sure that Pete's not going to deliberately do anything to hurt Vegas, or Macau by proxy. But it doesn't help that Macau doesn't understand why. And either way, Pete's been the loyal dog of the main family for too long. Macau doesn't trust Pete to not turn under pressure. Pete's really nice, though. Really calm, too. That makes it a lot harder to not trust him. He's grounding or something. Macau can't count the number of times he would have started chewing out one of the doctors if Pete hadn't been sitting right there next to him with his fury locked away in his tightly clenched fist. And it's clear that if Pete hadn't been there when Vegas had gotten shot, Vegas would have never made it to the hospital alive. It's lucky that Nop and Mick are there to remind him to be cautious of Pete. They sit in an alcove off to the right of the large, open-air pool room where Uncle Gon likes to meet all of his victims. And they sit there and they wait for ages. Macau can feel himself almost shaking from the anger. Or maybe the nerves. He doesn't want to think about it. Trust Uncle Gon to start the mind games before he even sets eyes on them. Fucking asshole. Pete sits next to him, paying close attention to all the guards surrounding them and exuding a patience that Macau doesn't feel. He eventually lays a hand on Macau's shoulder, and Macau closes his eyes, breathes in and out deeply as he tries to calm himself down. Kun Macau, this way, he hears a guard say, and he rockets up and strides into the room, trusting that Pete will follow him. His blood pounds in his ears. He halts in front of his uncle, sitting there in his ugly grandpa sweater with a mild smile on his face. Macau wants to punch him.
Macau, Uncle Gon says.
He waves a hand towards the opposite chair.
Sit down, please.
And Macau does, slowly, eyes darting around to note the positions of the guards. Two directly behind Uncle Gon, one stationed near the entrance, and what he thinks is two more behind him and out of sight. Fat lot of good knowing that will do, he thinks darkly. If they really want to kill him, Macau's as good as dead. He feels Pete come to stand behind his left shoulder.
Pete,
Uncle Gon says, and Macau watches Uncle Gon's face closely for even the smallest flicker of surprise, and he thinks he finds it.
I trust you're doing well.
Yes, Kung Gon,
Pete says. He doesn't bow.
Good.
Uncle Gon takes a sip of his obnoxiously expensive whiskey.
And Macau, thank you for coming to visit me on such short notice. Have you been feeling well?
Macau hasn't been here for more than 5 seconds and he's already tired of this shit.
You said we had family matters to discuss,
he says blandly. Uncle Gon says, smiling wider. He puts down his glass.
Straight to business. Much like your brother, I see.
Fucking hell, how is Macau feeling pissed already? Why is Uncle Gon so good at getting under everybody's skin?
You've been informed of your brother's prognosis, I assume.
Uncle Gon picks up a tablet from the nearby side table, starts flipping between screens as he searches for something.
Yes,
Macau says. Uncle Gon hums.
Physically, he seems to be on the path to recovery, which is very good news. But his progress in other areas seems hampered.
Macau feels ice run down his spine.
What do you mean?
He's been in a coma for quite a while. It seems the doctors have no good estimate for when he'll come out of it.
Uncle Gon furrows his brows.
We'll wait as long as it takes, of course. But in the meantime, there are some arrangements that need to be made.
Like what?
Macau says, trying not to let the annoyance bleed into his voice. Uncle Gon's eyes bore into his.
Like the question of your guardianship, to start with.
Macau doesn't process that fully for a good long moment. And then it hits him, and his mind fills with blinding rage.
Vegas is my guardian,
he hisses.
And Vegas is out of commission for an unknown amount of time,
Uncle Gon says. He puts the tablet down, clasps his hands in his lap.
Decisions need to be made about where you're going to live now, where you're going to go to college and such. We need to make sure you have access to enough money to live comfortably. And most importantly, if you were to get in any trouble or be in danger, someone needs to be responsible for you. As it stands, your brother can't do that.
None of this would be a problem if you didn't shoot my father in the head, Macau thinks. He's seething. He digs his hands into his thighs. He needs to calm down, now.
Informally, as your next of kin, the responsibility falls to me.
Kung Gon leans forwards, affects a worried expression.
For your best interest, I think it would be prudent to solidify that, so that I can take care of you properly.
And now Macau stands up, and he feels all the guards in the room go on alert around him, and he wills himself to not move any further. He breathes in deeply through his nose.
No,
he snarls.
Macau.
And now Uncle Gon looks disappointed, the sneak.
We can't leave you without a guardian for so long. It would be irresponsible of us.
I don't give a shit,
Macau grits out. He's not letting Uncle Gon take full control of his life. He's not going to let it happen. Despite himself, he can feel that he's starting to shiver. Could he even stop his uncle? He's not anywhere near the age of majority yet, and it's not like the courts would listen to him if he tried to argue his way out of this, not with his uncle lining everyone's pockets. He imagines Vegas waking up and finding out that Macau is under permanent guardianship of Uncle Gon. He feels abjectly sick. He's going to throw up right here on his uncle's spotless floor. Vegas wouldn't be able to do anything. Uncle Gorn could make Vegas do things by using Macau as collateral. He can't let that happen. He can't. He can't.
I won't do it,
he says shakily.
I'm fine on my own.
Macau, Uncle Gorn leans forwards. I know you're upset that everything has changed.
Shut up,
Macau says, and fuck, he's shouting now.
Everything has changed because of you.
I don't deny it.
His uncle shakes his head.
But the circumstances were extenuating. And in the end, I had to protect the innocents in my family.
Not a single one of you bastards is innocent,
Macau snaps. Uncle Gorn's eyes go steely.
Macau,
he says sternly.
No,
Macau says reflexively.
Just let's wait a little longer, see if he wakes up.
It's been weeks, Macau. We cannot be in denial about this.
Macau laughs, just on the side of hysterical.
Denial? Do you know who here is in denial?
He points at Uncle Gorn.
It's you! Do you think that I'd just be okay with you taking guardianship of me? After you killed my father?
I regret it immensely. But that doesn't change how much I care for you.
Shut up!
Macau closes his eyes. He needs to think, damn it.
As your only family, it is our responsibility and our honor to take care of you.
Macau doesn't answer.
Please, Macau,
he hears his uncle say.
Let us do this for you.
Macau squeezes his eyes tighter, trying to block out the sounds of his uncle's drivel. Think, what would Vegas do? And then he feels Pete press a hand gently between his shoulder blades, and all the dominoes line up neatly in his head, falling one after the other. He opens his eyes.
I need to have a guardian.
Uncle Gorn looks at him, then nods.
It can't be my brother.
Macau puts his hands behind his back, fists them tightly.
But it doesn't have to be you either.
There are few other options,
Uncle Gorn says, overly kind.
I suppose kin could...
Pete,
Macau says, before he can second-guess himself.
I want it to be Pete.
And there, finally, is a true show of surprise on his uncle's face. It passes lightning quick, though.
Pete,
he says after a pause.
Would you be so kind as to leave us for a moment?
No,
Macau says, before Pete can respond.
Anything you want to say to me, he can be here for.
I think we need to speak about this privately,
Uncle Gorn says. He turns his gaze to Pete. Macau clenches his fist tighter, hoping beyond hope that Pete won't leave. He doesn't think Pete would leave. After what feels like an eternity, Pete slowly says,
Kung Gon, if Macau wants me to stay, I will.
Macau holds back a grin. Uncle Gon sighs.
I will be plain.
He reaches for his drink again.
Your guardianship comes with responsibility over not just you, but the numerous assets that belong to you and your brother. Pete is not experienced in dealing with assets at that scale.
So you help him,
Macau says. He's going to dig his heels in. This is his only shot.
It's not so simple. It also gives Pete a tremendous amount of control over your future. And I'm sure Pete would not intentionally harm you in any way, but it is easy to make mistakes with devastating consequences.
None of that sounds like a no,
Macau says, crossing his arms.
I want Pete.
He might as well start lying while he's at it.
I trust him. And more importantly, Hia trusts him.
Uncle Gon frowns. I'm sorry, Macau. As your temporary guardian, I cannot allow you to make that kind of choice lightly.
Then give me a few weeks to think about it,
Macau snaps.
And then you can be sure that I'm sure.
His uncle shakes his head. It's hard to grasp the full consequences of a decision like this. You are young. This will affect your entire life going forward.
I know what I want!
Macau shouts. Fuck, he didn't think his uncle was going to reject him so blatantly. I'm sorry, Macau. I'm going to have to say no. And Macau cannot let him win this. He can't shoot him either. But, he thinks frantically, he can do the next best thing. In a smooth motion, he pulls out the switchblade stowed away in his back pocket and flicks it open. The guards in front of him immediately reach for their holsters, but pause when Macau presses the blade against his own throat.
It's my life,
Macau says, voice heated.
And so it's going to be my decision.
Macau, Uncle Gon says, carefully raising a hand. Put the knife down.
No,
Macau says, and he knows he's being full-on reckless now, but he doesn't see any other way out.
If you don't agree, I'm going to slit my throat right here, right now. If you really want to take care of me, you'll let me have Pete as my guardian.
Uncle Gon doesn't say anything for a long while. Macau watches him closely as sweat starts to pool on his own forehead. And as Uncle Gon continues to not say anything, continues to just look at him, Macau starts to get really nervous. With a sinking feeling in his stomach, he thinks, no, he knows that his uncle is about to call his bluff. Macau steadies his grip on the switchblade. Is he really going to do this? He doesn't want to. Maybe he can cut himself in such a way that it looks really bad but isn't too lethal. And then he hears the soft click of a gun safety from behind him, and a gun presses gently into the side of his head. Pete, Uncle Gon says as he stands up, and as all of his guards pull out their guns to point them straight at Pete.
I'm sorry, Kung Gon,
Pete says, adjusting his gun so that it applies less direct pressure to Macau's head.
If Macau wants to do this, I will help him fulfill his wishes.
Out of the corner of his eye, Macau sees Pete turn to look straight at Uncle Gon. His finger lays right alongside the trigger. Uncle Gon narrows his eyes. Macau can't see Pete's face, and that's a good thing, because he's attempting to keep his own face as steady as possible. He can't believe Pete would hold a gun to his head. He's stupidly relieved that Pete took this responsibility away from him. The stare down takes ages. But eventually, his uncle breaks the silence.
Are you capable of taking responsibility for someone else? Especially someone so young?
With all due respect,
Pete says softly,
I took care of your son for 7 years.
Uncle Gon gives him another long, impassive look, and then he finally nods. And Macau lets out the biggest breath of his life, drops his switchblade and flips it shut.
Thank you, Kung Gon,
Pete says, and he clicks the safety back on, pockets his gun so that he can put his hands together, and bows deeply.
I will care for Macau with my life. I swear it.
Fuck, Macau's gonna cry. This is not the moment, though. He uses every shred of his willpower to maintain a blank expression.
I will expect reports on Macau's well-being,
Uncle Gon says. We will need to discuss the handling of his assets.
Of course,
Pete says.
Do we need to start on any paperwork?
I'll send it along.
And Uncle Gon sits back down. And Macau wants to sneer at him, but no, he has to hold himself together until they get out of here. Macau thumps down into the chair, affects his best slouch.
Is that all?
He drawls.
That's all for now.
Uncle Gon picks his drink back up, takes a sip.
I'll be in touch.
And Macau gets right back up again, gives his uncle the most underwhelming bow of all time before turning around and beelining it for the door. He doesn't say anything, not in the hallways, not in the elevator, and not as they walk out of the lobby and to the car. He gets in the car, and Pete gets in next to him, and he still doesn't say anything because the driver is one of Uncle Gon's men. But he carefully reaches over to grab Pete's wrist, almost crushing it with how tightly he grips it. The adrenaline from the conversation is still surging through his veins. Pete flips his wrist over in Macau's hand and grips Macau's wrist right back. Once they're back in the hospital, Pete leads him to an empty room, shuts the door gently behind them. Macau perches on the hospital bed, wincing at the creaking sound it makes. Pete turns to him.
Macau,
he says. Macau flops backwards onto the bed.
Fuck,
he says.
Fuck!
He slams at the bed with his hands, then starts laughing.
God damn it, that was terrible. I have literally never had a worse time in my whole life.
He cranes his neck up to look at Pete, who's looking fairly concerned for him.
Macau,
Pete tries again. He swallows. Then he says,
you did good in there.
Macau tilts his head back because it's still not time to cry. Not yet. He blinks his eyes rapidly.
Thanks,
he says. It comes out sounding thick. Pete sits down next to him, puts a hand down so he can twist to look at Macau.
I'm sorry. Nah,
Macau says.
You made the right call. Super metal of you. Uncle Gon didn't believe I was gonna do it.
He fixes his gaze on the ceiling.
Would you have done it?
Pete remains quiet for a minute. Then he says,
if you had wanted me to, I would have done it. Did you think I wanted it?
Pete quirks a smile.
I didn't know.
Macau snorts.
Guess that's one way to be convincing, huh? If you think you might have done it, then so did Uncle Gon.
Pete shrugs a shoulder. Macau closes his eyes then, lets himself sink into the bed as he finally feels his heart rate go down. What a shitty, shitty move for his uncle to pull. He knows that he's going to have a giant freakout about this later, but right now, he's just insanely relieved. Pete breaks the silence after a while.
Macau, I know you said you wanted me to be your guardian.
Macau blinks his eyes open, turns to look at him. Pete looks unsure.
You had to make a rushed decision in there, but you should think about it some more.
To be honest, Macau had been thinking about that the whole ride back. The thought of having someone who isn't Vegas as his guardian makes him feel nauseous. The thought that that arrangement might be permanent makes him want to scream. Something about the way Pete says it, though. The reluctance, the obvious desire for Macau to make the decision the right way. Well, he's pretty convinced now that it was the right move.
Nah.
He sits up, grins at Pete.
You're stuck with me.
He hesitates and then says,
Pete.
And Pete just... He beams at Macau, and by God, Macau cannot be crying right now, so he pulls Pete into a hug. It's a strategic move to hide his face. And he's winning twice over because it turns out that Pete gives the best hugs. The paperwork isn't done by the time Vegas wakes up, just under 10 days later. Macau does cry then, and so does Pete, and so does Meg because he's a wimp. Not though, Nop has a spine of steel. And Macau is so, so glad that he's still unquestionably tied to Vegas. But he knows now, as he watches Vegas cup Pete's face in his hands, that Vegas really does trust Pete. And so Macau would have been just fine being tied to Pete instead. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this podfic, comments and kudos would be greatly appreciated. You can also click through from AO3 to the original fic and leave comments and kudos for the original writer.